We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org, willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 29th day of September, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. The state statisticians reported in late yesterday with crop progress and conditions. We'll hear firsthand reports from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota today. Needless to say, they're all behind, but finally, harvest and consequently the combines have arrived in the fields of the Midwest. Speaking of which, we'll continue our push for harvest safety. Today we'll hear why farmers should retrofit those old tractors with a ROPS. Hey, and then in about 26 minutes, Don Day will join us to talk about the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat at $4.47.5 in Chicago, down 8.25. The soft red March at $4.67.25. 8 cents lower, the May down 9 at $4.81. In Kansas City, December hard red settled $4.68.5, down 6.5 cents. From the corn pit in Chicago, December corn $3.41 for the harvest month, up 2.25. March at $3.54, 2.75 higher. May at $3.63, that's up 2.75. And July at $3.71, up 2.75. September corn at $3.79.25, up 3 cents. Let me give you that December again because I gave a couple of folks a heart attack out there. $3.41, up 2.25. March at $3.54, up 2.75. From the soy complex, November beans today $9.17, 2.5 lower. January at $9.22.5, down 2. The March at $9.22.5 as well, down 1.5 cents, and the May futures 9.17.75, down 2.5 cents. July at 9.18.75, down 2.75. August $9.12, down 4. October bean meal at $288.50 lower. December up 30 at $284.80. October oil at $33.47, 23 cents higher. October live cattle futures, 85.65, 45 lower. December at 85.60, down 17.5. October feeders at $95.80, 65 cents lower on the afternoon. And the October lean hog futures at $50.27.5, 100 pounds, up 40 cents for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $66.71, a settlement price down 13 cents. October ethanol at $1.76.5, that's 4.3 cents higher on the day. Natural gas at $4.86.4, up 3.4. The October RBOB gasoline at $1.62.7, 1.1 cents lower. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.69.6. 0.5 cents higher for the day. Propane futures at 98.6 cents, up 0.3 cents, and the gold futures for the afternoon, a settlement price at $993.10, up 60 cents. The Dow now stands at 9,765. It's just about 24 points lower, and the U.S. dollar at 77.12 is up 0.07 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 252.13 is 0.19 higher. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It starts with a frost advisory, which is in effect for Joe, Davie, Stevenson, and Carroll counties in far western northern Illinois from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. tomorrow morning on Wednesday morning. Tonight in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, a few showers near Lake Michigan. Elsewhere, cloudy to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 35 in northwestern parts of Illinois to 48 in northwestern Indiana. And then tomorrow in northern Indiana, mix of clouds, some sunshine. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy. Highs tomorrow will range from around 60 in northern Indiana to 72 in the far south. The extended forecast says on Thursday some showers may enter northern and western Illinois, while dry weather conditions will remain over the rest of the two-state region. Rain and thunderstorms will move across Illinois and Indiana Thursday night, that followed by some scattered showers, a few isolated thunderstorms on Friday. Unsettled weather with showers will cover the region on Saturday, followed by a return to dry weather on Sunday.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We always talk on Tuesdays with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, cold weather, a little bit last night, some more frosty conditions in the northern part of the region of Illinois tonight, but not enough to end anything, and we still have a higher price in Chicago for corn today.
Well, I think, you know, there was a couple things that propelled that. I mean, you know, partially was a little bit of the cold weather and a little bit of fear that some of the corn isn't done. There's some talk about some of the diseases, some of the diplodia going on along the way in some of the corn that way, and some of the lighter test weights possible in the later corn or the smaller ears in the corn that was planted in late May. All those things swing around there, and mainly is the funds have been buyers of corn. They've been getting out of the crude oil market, out of the gold market, and looking and seeing corn as more of a buy than, say, beans are. So they've been buying wheat and corn here along the way and some of the redistribution. It's the end of the month, and we'll either have some money flow in tomorrow or the first couple days of the month, also to some of their buying. So that's been a good part of it, Todd. And also taking off of the long bean, short corn spread, or initiating long corn short bean spread, just thinking that beans are overpriced compared to corn. So a lot of spreading activity also that had got into that. But when it was all said and done, we closed 6 cents off our highs today in the corn, because looking at the you know, the best chance, not a freeze or killing freeze, probably now until October 7th, Todd.
You mentioned that the funds were rolling out of, I think, crude oil and out of gold. Both have been down. Crude oil now at $66.71 on its lead option for its settlement price. It's been working its way lower. Are they just scared that crude's going to continue to move lower? Or what do you
I think
happening?
That, you know, some of the inflation fears have went away on that. It's sort of lost its shine as one of the places where they had their money or wanted to have their money put that way. We see, you know, some fund transfers that way of where they're stacking up that way. So, you know, all in all, it's one of those things that they might run back over that way here after a little bit, but there has been some liquidation or some money being shifted from those areas.
I saw some combines running in the soybean fields last night, and I suppose today here in Champaign County. Are they working in your area?
You know, we've had yields around today from here, just right close local, from central Illinois and like that, and most of the beans are running. There were about 13 to 14 yesterday. With the wind we've had, they're testing down closer to 12 today, Todd, and probably the average yield we're hearing is 61 to 63 bushels from the people that we're picking up from. So we are seeing some fairly good yields so far on the beans, and they're seeming to thinking if the weather would hold. I mean, I know we're looking at some rain the end of the week here, but there'd be a lot of people running pretty hard by the end of the week if we could hold the weather.
Bean market still telling producers to go ahead and market over the scale. You think they should be doing anything else?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was talking to one of our producers today, and I guess in his area, why they took 20 cents out of that cash bid or the basis levels today that was there yesterday. So we are starting to see some of the processors or the Cargills and ADMs taking some of the basis advantages out of the market as we get the combines rolling.
And what are you suggesting producers do about corn? Anything new?
The corn, yes. I think, you know, along the way we had a chance today, and we done a little hedging on some corn. You know, we got up in that 345 and above range, and we were sellers of corn. We're going to watch if it doesn't close above 350, why we'll sit here that way, or else was an opportunity to put some puts on, even for some of the guys that are maybe going to be storing the corn for a little later, or might not be ready quite yet.
Wayne, thanks so much. Any final word from you before I let you go?
No, I think that's about it for today, Todd.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You, of course, are welcome to visit our phone line at 217-333-3434 for more complete information on agricultural marketplaces. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Yesterday, USDA released its weekly crop weather and progress report. It showed 90% of the nation's corn crop was at the dense stage or beyond. That's 5 points behind last year and 7 points, or slightly more than a full week, behind the 5-year rolling average. Denting was most active in the Great Lakes states and the Dakotas, where above-average temperatures aided crop development. Crop maturity advanced 16 points during the week to 37% complete, 12 points behind last year, 35 points, or about 2 weeks behind the average. Despite the active maturity rates during the week, delays of 42 points or more remained in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, and North Dakota. Three of those are in the top 5 corn-producing states in the nation. Nationally, producers had harvested 6% of the 2009 corn crop by September the 27th. That compares with 8% last year and 18% for the rolling 5-year average. Harvest was most advanced in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. Overall, 68% of the corn crop rated in good to excellent condition, unchanged from the previous week, but 7 points better than last year. Soybeans now. Leaves had dropped on 63% of the soybean acreage, 2 points behind last year, 14 points behind the 5-year rolling average. Although leaf drop was active across much of the growing region, overall progress remained behind normal in all estimating states. Harvest was underway in most states as the week ended, with the most progress seen in the Delta. By the 27th, producers had harvested 5% of the nation's acreage, 3 points behind last year, 13 points behind the average on the 5-year, and overall 66% of the soybean acreage was rated in good to excellent condition. That's down a point from the previous week, 9 points still better than the previous year. Excessively wet weather across the Delta led to a decline in soybean conditions as producers in Arkansas and Mississippi reported sprouting and seed rot in several fields. And finally, winter wheat. Producers seeded 12% of their winter wheat acreage during the week, leaving progress at 36%, 1 point behind last year, 3 points behind the 5-year rolling average. Now here are updates from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota.
This is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Ag Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending September 20th, 2009. Iowa received yet another week of dry, warm conditions, allowing corn and soybean maturity to rapidly advance, and allowed a few producers to start harvesting soybeans that were planted on light, sandy soils. The sun-filled days and average nighttime temperatures were exactly what crops needed, although overall, crop development still lags behind the 5-year average. Corn and soybeans continue to be rated mostly good to excellent. Nearly all of the corn crop is at or beyond the dough stage, and 89% has reached the dent stage, 6 percentage points ahead of last year, but 5 days behind the 5-year average. 22% of the crop is mature, 11 days behind the 5-year average, and condition was rated the same as last week at 75%, good to excellent. The soybean crop continued to develop well ahead of last year, but behind the normal pace. 87% of the soybeans have leaves turning color, and 50% of the acreage is dropping leaves, 3 and 14 points behind the 5-year average, respectively. With harvest just getting underway, soybean condition was rated 73% good to excellent, down 2 points from last week. The statewide average precipitation was 0.06 inch, while normal for the week is nearly 0.8 inch, with no rain reported over the eastern two-thirds of Iowa for a third consecutive week. Temperatures were above normal throughout the week, averaging 1 to 2 degrees above normal over the southeast and 4 to 6 degrees above normal over the northwest. Statewide, temperatures averaged 3 degrees above normal. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 27th. Continuing warmer temperatures averaging 6 degrees above normal for the week ending September 27th have given a boost to the crop maturity rates, with a good portion of the state's corn crop nearing maturity. The first harvests of early planted soybean fields were also reported. However, rain in the latter part of the week stopped that activity. Rainfall accumulations totaled 1.5 inches for the week, which was 72/100ths of an inch above normal. Growing degree day units since May 1 are now at 2,846 and trailing the historic average by only 196 units, which was an improvement of 43 units from last week's deficit. The corn crop finished the week at 84% in the dense stage, and this compares to 95% 1 year ago and 99% for the 5-year average. 24% of the crop was reported mature, compared to 49% 1 year ago and 84% for the 5-year average. 2% of the corn fields were reported harvested, compared to 4% a year ago and 28% for the 5-year average. Leading the state in the corn mature category was the Southeastern Crop Reporting District at 75%. Overall, 61% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, down 1 point from last week. Soybeans in the turning yellow stage were reported at 75%, compared to 80% 1 year ago and 92% for the 5-year average. 41% of the state's soybean acreage was reported shedding leaves, and this compares to 52% 1 year ago and 77% normally. 1% was reported harvested, compared to 5% 1 year ago and 21% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Slimmer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the crop weather report for the week ending September 27, 2009. Temperatures averaged 4 degrees below normal last week. Corn conditions rated mostly good or excellent. A third of the corn is mature and 10 days behind the average. Seed, high moisture corn, silage, and the first fields for grain were being harvested. Soybean conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Virtually the entire crop has turned color and 3/4 is dropping leaves. Harvest is picking up speed around the state. Sorghum conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over 3/4 of the crop is turning color and almost a third is mature. The first fields have been harvested. Dry bean harvest is a week ahead of the average. Nearly 3/4 of the winter wheat has been seeded and almost half has emerged. Proso millet harvest is nearly halfway complete. Pasture and rain conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Kathy King, Agricultural Statistician from the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress report for the week ending September 27th. Corn development remains behind last year and the 5-year average, but good progress was made toward maturity in September due in part to the above-normal temperatures received during the month. As of Sunday, 17% of the corn crop was rated mature, 21 percentage points behind last year and 42 points behind average. However, corn at or beyond the dense stage reached 91%, just 6 points behind last year and average. On August 30th, corn denting was 15 points behind last year and 43 points behind average. 70% of corn was rated in good to excellent condition, unchanged from a week ago. Soybean maturity continued to track the pace set in 2008. 81% of soybeans were dropping leaves, up 32 points from last week, and identical to last year. 36% of soybeans were rated mature, 3 points behind last year, and 21 points behind average. 5% of soybeans were harvested, compared to 7% a year ago. Statewide, 65% of soybeans were rated in good to excellent condition, down 1 point from a week ago. Spring wheat and barley harvest was nearly complete at 98% and 99% harvested, respectively. Canola harvest advanced 34 points to 80% complete. Sugar beet harvest advanced 3 points to 11% complete as pre-pile harvest continued. This has been Kathy King, agricultural statistician with the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly crop progress report.
Our thanks to the statisticians from Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois for those updates and their weekly reports right here on the Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. Up next, the majority of farm accidents happen in the fall. I'll have the grim statistics and some ways you can improve safety in rural America. Let's use Illinois as our statistical backdrop. Extension Farm Safety Specialist Baba Heron says each year about 34 people lose their lives in Illinois farm-related accidents. Most of the deaths and the some 5,000 lost time injuries happen in the fall of the year. It follows that spring is the second most dangerous time of the year on the farm. The University of Illinois' Heron says a lost time injury is one where the person is hurt bad enough to receive medical attention or is off work for a day or more.
And when we look at the types of accidents occur, the number one thing involving deaths is tractor overturns, has been for 30-plus years. That's going down a little bit, but we have out of the 35 deaths, about 10 to 14 will be tractor overturn-related deaths, and about almost all of those, not totally, but will be tractors that do not have any kind of rollover protective structure on them. Occasionally, we get a death with a roll of protective structure on a tractor. So it's mostly our older tractors that involve the overturns that involve a death.
Heron and his colleagues spend a lot of time trying to get farmers to retrofit older tractors with rollover protection structures. These are sometimes called ROPs.
The highest risk thing as far as tractor overturns, where about 65 to 70% of our overturns occur when the farmer's doing some kind of mowing, mowing ditches, drainage ditches, and right-of-ways and those sorts of things. And so if we could just get farmers to use a tractor as a roller protective structure when doing that activity, that would dramatically reduce the risk of tractor overturn and deaths.
The second most common way for an injury or death to occur happens to riders on tractors. They get bounced off and run over. Usually these are kids.
The third highest area for our Illinois is roadway-related accidents with about 6 to 7 deaths. And then following that is grain-related deaths involving about anywhere from 3 to 7 deaths each year, and grain-related, mostly drowning-type deaths in grain bins and sometimes gravity wagons with children. So those are some of our major types of accidents that occur. When we look at non-fatal injuries, the number one type of injury is animal-related injuries. We have more numbers of injuries with animals. They don't have as many deaths with animals, but we have more numbers of total injuries with those farmers that handle particularly large animals on dairy farms and in confinement facilities.
The stats in Illinois, the Midwest, and the nationwide add up to just one thing. Farming is dangerous. It is, in fact, the most dangerous occupation in the United States. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. In just about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Mocha Day. Coffee traces its origin as far back as the 11th century when in Ethiopia, native beans were first cultivated. One myth attributes the discovery of coffee to an Ethiopian goat herder who awoke one morning to discover his goats missing. When he found them, the goats were full of energy, having apparently ate the red fruit off short shrubs nearby, what turned out to be coffee fruit. It's also St. Michael's Day, patron of grocers and bakers. On this day in agricultural history in 1542, Portuguese explorer Juan Rodriguez Cabril arrived in present-day San Diego. Just 4 months later, he died from complications of a broken leg incurred from a fall during a brief skirmish with natives. He may have been buried on Catalina Island. In 1859, Herman Briggs was born. An American physician, he pioneered the use of bacteriological studies in the field of public health for the prevention and control of contagious diseases. And in 1913, Rudolf Diesel died, an American thermal engineer. He invented the internal combustion engine that bears his name. He patented the concept in 1892, but ultimately committed suicide by throwing himself over the rail of an English Channel steamer after having lost control over his invention. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Tuesday afternoon, dawn day of day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
There are some calls for cold weather, but they're quite a ways out. Have you taken a look at the GFS models, and can you tell me when there might be a killing freeze in the Midwest?
Well, there's certainly cold coming. In fact, the whole nation is likely going to see temperatures for the first full week of October below normal, and that does include freezing temperatures, certainly the northern plains, the Dakotas, most of the central and northern Rockies, freezing temperatures as far east as north central and western Nebraska, good bet as early as Friday night and Saturday morning. This front probably won't bring freezing temperatures to the Midwest, but the next front after that is likely going to continue to bring more cold air out of Canada. So the first 2 weeks of October are going to be cooler, and the cooler weather can bring wet weather as well to most of the Corn Belt Midwest.
Farmers won't be happy. The cool weather will slow maturation, and then the wet weather will make it hard once they get started in the fields in real force. How much wet weather and what kind of precip are we talking about?
Well, the good news is the first system is going to be a fairly quick-moving one. So I think precipitation is not going to be too heavy, probably around a half inch to an inch. That's going to favor the western areas, Iowa, Nebraska, portions of Oklahoma, and Kansas. The next couple of systems out there will be slower moving. So unfortunately, the news isn't terribly good in terms of maturation and any early harvest operations, as the weather is going to be a factor for the first 2 weeks of the month.
Yeah, so overall, can you give an idea that first shot will be how much precip, maybe an inch across the western corn belt?
And then, I would say a half inch to an inch and a quarter across most of the western belt.
And then the second run slows down, and is it going to be a dumper?
Well, it's going to move a lot slower to the point where it may not be a dumping rain, but steady rain over a 2 or 3 day period. Hard to pinpoint where that moisture is going to be, but it's going to be a slow mover, that second storm, taking its time coming out of the Great Basin and Rockies next week.
And we still have to put some winter wheat in the ground out west. How will they be able to proceed?
Well, the good news for those areas is they're probably going to be able to get a little bit of moisture in the ground for the planting. I think that it's going to be a little tough going for some of that planting in the winter wheat, especially with the stormy weather developing in those western plain states.
And then turn your attention to South America. They get started on their planting season usually in the month of October.
Well, Brazil has the best opportunity for rain. Some areas of central and northwestern and western Argentina. Argentina, definitely the drier of the two countries. Temperatures down south are a little below normal still. Temperatures at or a little bit below normal.
And were you able to check in on China for me, too?
Not like the United States. China's going to see an active pattern. The western and southern areas especially look a little wet and a little cooler than normal.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don, you too. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Don had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.